we embrace technology and data, and we know that data is our lifeblood and we cannot function without it.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. I'm Carsten Bange, founder and CEO of BARC, and my guest today is Anna Celok, and she is Data Strategy and Culture Lead at NHS Property Services in the UK. We have a fascinating discussion around their approach to data culture. And I can say it's a very sophisticated approach. Not only that they developed a good definition and vision of data culture, but also a model based on six pillars, what they want to address and change to win the hearts and the minds of people. They say it's about developing love and trust in data. Isn't that great? Enjoy the episode. Hello, Anna. Welcome to the Data Culture Podcast.
Thank you, Carsten. Thank you so much for having me. Delighted to be here.
It's a big pleasure. And you're joining us today from England.
Yes, yes, I am.
Yep. As we can hear. And you are leading data strategy and data culture for NHS Property Services. Maybe to give us a little bit of background, what is NHS Property Services? What's that organization? How big is it? A little bit of background.
Okay, sure. Thank you. So to put it simply, NHSPS develops, manages and maintains the NHS properties across England. We have one of the biggest property portfolio in the UK with about 3,000 properties and around 7,000 tenants. Our properties are making up about 10% of NHS estates. We advise NHS on all property matters across the end-to-end estate lifecycle, from estate strategy development to implementation, as well as estate management services. Over the last 12 years, we have made many improvements, including generating 555 million through disposal to reinvest it back into the estate, enabling 8,500 housing units, achieving 100% rate for our cleaning audits, as well as 98% rate for statutory technical compliance. We also scored 9.1 out of 10 for our customer satisfaction and reduced costs by 374 million. These achievements show our commitment to our NHS customers and ensuring that we provide and our properties meet the standards and the needs of the communities they serve. So that's us in a nutshell.
Excellent. So it gives us an idea about the scale of what you're doing. How many people are in the organization?
So we have over 5,000 colleagues.
All right. And now let's talk about data. Do you have a data strategy? Obviously, because you're in charge of it. But I'm sure it had a history and a journey how you basically developed it. Maybe you can take us along that journey a little bit.
Yeah, sure. The journey, it's been quite interesting, I must say. Let's start who we are a bit more. So we are a forward-looking organization with the vision to be digitally enabled and data-driven. We embrace technology and data, and we know that data is our lifeblood and we cannot function without it. It enables our decision-making and helps us with our operation excellence, which then ultimately helps our customers to provide the excellent patient care. As an organization, we are continuously evolving, adapting our systems, reporting and data infrastructure. However, this in the past led to overlapping data functions, which then resulted in duplicated efforts and conflicting standards. we identify the need that we need to connect our data and we need to connect our data functions for the holistic data-driven decision-makings that we consider all of our data sources and all of our data in our decision-making. We recognize that we need the strong data governance, quality assurance structures, and that we need to standardize our policies, procedures to manage our data in a more effective way across the entire organization. So to move forward, we needed to change. We needed the change because we had vast amount of data, but our trust in data was minimal. So, and that's how data transformation program was born, with the vision to lay the foundations for better data governance, better data management, to create embed data culture for, well, of course, better decision-making and then benefiting our customers as well as our colleagues.
Excellent. Before we hear a little bit more about that, to get maybe a better understanding, the main data domains you have, are that the actual properties and the customers, the users of that, or maybe you could give us a little bit of an overview.
So we've got the data across all the domains. So we have a customer data, properties data, our colleagues data. So property services and HSPS consist of corporate functions, like the standard one when you have a people, finance, digital and data advisory services, and delivery. And then we have a delivery function, which is the operation functions. And we have a colleagues who are working on the delivery frontline, so delivering the estate management services. So we have a data on our properties, on our customers, on our colleagues. So it's spread across the entire data landscape. Yeah.
Okay. And my observation is that in facility management or estate management, there's an increasing amount of sensors being built in, so to increase the amount of data points you get. And I also see a focus often on energy, yeah, trying to reduce energy consumption. Is that true for you also, or are there other things you have where things are, from a point of a data person, where things are developing interestingly?
Yes, definitely. We do have a smarter buildings program where we are using sensors data to understanding the utilization of our buildings and of our outbuildings. So yeah, that's correct. We are using data to understand how to better utilize our estate portfolio.
Now, you mentioned that data culture is an important part of this data transformation program. What exactly is part of this data culture initiative, or how did you embed data culture in your data strategy?
Okay. Yeah, so let's talk a bit about the data transformation program, because that's where our journey started to build a mature data culture. So the as I mentioned before, the aim of the program was to lay the foundations for better data management governance and making sure that we have the right tools and skills for better data utilization. And within the program, we had the four main work streams: data architecture and storage. And the main deliverable for the work stream was to set up data management practices informed by DAMA framework, as well as creating a building enterprise data warehouse, provided unified view for our data, and supporting our vision for single source of truth. Then the second work stream was data governance quality assurance, creating a culture of data governance and quality across our organization. The main deliverables were data information governance operating model with the clear accountabilities and escalating processes, introduction of the data owners and stewards, as well as data quality management processes and tools. Then the third work stream, it's a reporting analytics, and our colleagues were working super hard to deliver environment that makes it easier for our colleagues and customers to use data to drive their decisions. So one of the main deliverables was to standardize our reporting portfolio, ensuring that our reports and dashboards are fit for purpose, as well as introducing reporting catalog and business glossary, ensuring that we speak the same language and we understand our data and our value measures. And then last but not least, it's the data culture workstream, and that's where I come in. So the vision was to instill the love and trust in data, and those are the big words. One of the main purposes, aims, was to ensure that our colleagues understand their role and responsibilities around managing, governing, as well as having the right tools and skills to utilize data. And the main deliverables of my work stream was to ensure that we have a clear data culture vision, as well as data literacy vision and a framework, but also implementational delivery on the data literacy program. So that's a data transformation program in a nutshell.
Super. Very, very good overview on what you're doing. How far advanced are you in these work streams? Is it still going on, or are you already done with it?
We are almost done. We are just wrapping up, and the program comes to an end at the end of March. So the program lasted for around 3 years, and we are coming to an end. However, it doesn't mean that the work stops here. We work very hard. The team was super busy to put the right foundations in place. As I mentioned, you know, the policy procedures, start building the infrastructure, data infrastructure, reporting infrastructure. And then now it's that's where the hard work begins. We need to start the embedding phase.
So when this will be published, you will be already done. But we all know, especially data culture, is a marathon,
yes,
not a sprint.
Exactly. That's my word.
So, many people say that. One of my last guests actually said, no, it's an ultra marathon.
Ooh, yeah.
It's even longer. But that sounds like a work stream and that's done. How do you ensure continuity? How do you go on once the work stream is done?
Brilliant question. So, and sorry, I'm going to repeat myself, but the aim of the work stream was to put the right foundations in place. So one of the deliverables was to define what data culture means to us, how we define data culture within NHSPS, and what is our vision for data culture. So we've got a clear understanding where we want to go to. We are building our data culture with the vision of democratization of the data, with the vision that our colleagues know their roles and responsibilities around data management governance and have the right tools and skills to utilize data. We are building our data culture on 6 pillars underpinned by collaboration. So we have a clear vision where to go, with a clear data literacy framework. So we have already started working on the new data strategy and putting our roadmap for change. So we already have a roadmap for change for our data culture ready to start implementing and embedding after the program ends.
Oh, super. And now I'm curious, obviously, what are the 6 pillars of data culture at NHS?
Yes. Brilliant. Yes. Good question. So, as I mentioned, our vision is to be digitally enabled and data driven. And we know that data is constant of all our efforts. Without the right data culture, we cannot. None of our current or future initiatives can, reach their full potential. So when we were defining data culture, we identified the six pillars, and the six pillars of our data culture are leadership and accountability. So ensuring that our senior leadership team works as a one team, support the implementation and embedding of data culture, prioritizing data initiative and allocating resources. The next pillar is the data-driven decision-making. And again, we as an organization, we understand that treat data as our strategic asset, treat it with the respect and at all levels. And we have our senior leadership team who are driving the data-driven decision-making, leading by example and assuring that we use data to improve our operation efficiencies, being agile and adapt depending on the organization needs. The next pillar is data literacy, because it's super important. Our vision is to be a progressive data culture environment where we are driving democratization of the data. All our colleagues are using data, collecting data, producing data on a daily basis, which means that they have a really clear understanding of their roles and responsibilities, as well as they need to have the right skills to use the data for decision making. So that's another pillar. Then we have data improvements. So we want to foster environment of continuous improvement where we are using data to adapt our strategies, our approaches to our operational activities. And we also prioritizing initiatives like data quality improvements. So we have the right data to make those decisions, because there is a massive difference between organizations who have data and those that have data fit for purpose and know how to use it. To drive successful data culture, we have to have all colleagues with us on that journey. So that's the continuous improvement pillar. The next one is infrastructure and tooling, because we need to have the scalable infrastructure in place to ensure we are ready for the future, that we can use our data for example, predictive maintenance or personalizing our customer experience. And then last but not least, accessibility. That's the last pillar. And data accessibility, so we can use our data ethically, responsibly, securely. So we have the right policies in place, ensuring our customer trusts us with the data. Because as I mentioned at the beginning, our vision is to be a progressive data culture environment with the democratization of the data. However, democratization of the data doesn't mean it's a free-for-all. It means that we are sharing the insights and data, and we are using it to understand our organization performance and understanding how to adapt. But you still have to have the right policies in place to ensure that that's not abused.
Excellent. Interesting. Maybe you know that I also have a data culture framework with six pillars.
Oh,
that aligns very well.
Are they aligning?
Yes. There's one thing I emphasize more, but I will ask you that later. First, I didn't. But they're aligning very well, especially this accessibility part. That's something I also put out as one of the six areas people can or should really address if they want to improve data culture in the organization. And that sometimes gets me some questions. Like, so isn't that like, people say, hey, isn't that like more a technical feature, or isn't that like a tiny thing? But I completely agree with you. It's a foundation for so many other things. Yeah? If data is not accessible, you can basically cannot use it. So I really like that you also put it on the first level, on the highest level here. What I get asked around my framework, and that's why I will ask you the same question. Often one of the first questions is there an order to these pillars? Is there something that you should address first before you look at other pillars? So is there like an importance ranking, a rating or a prioritization in these pillars?
So important thing to remember, there is no one size fits all. Whatever works for NHS property services may not necessarily work for other organization. When we were defining what data culture means to us, it was done on understanding our organizational culture and our subcultures. So what are our beliefs, what are our norms and mindset, but also trying to identify what works and what needs improvement. We also looked at the industry standards, of course, and then the compliance part. So how we need to treat our data and what is the requirements around it, around data management. So we've done the current state assessment as well as the future state assessment to understand and ask ourselves a question. How do we want to use the data? But also, who is going to have the access to the data? And that's where we identified that we are very much so aligned to data culture, where data is used by all our colleagues for the decision making, so the democratization of the data, but as well as that we want to use data not just for understanding our performance and the operational efficiencies. We want to start driving the value for our customers. So we want to use data, data science and advanced analytics to understand how we can improve our strategies in the future and how can we use predictive maintenance, for example, to extend the lifespan of our assets, how we can use the real-time data. We were talking about the beginning about the smarter buildings and sensor data to inform our decisions around the estate development and maintenance and so on and so forth. So just going back to your question, which part it's the most important, it will depend. And that's why I said there is no one size fits all, because it will depend on the organization. I was pushing against the open door. So we already had a buy-in from our senior leadership team. But if we didn't, I would have said that this is the most important. You need to get the buy-in from your senior leadership team, because with a building mature data culture, it's a top-down approach. You need to have the vision and you need to lead by example. And that's where you need your senior leadership team.
I completely agree. But then, working on data culture with many organizations, what typically is the observation is that the top management team often has a strong buy-in. Yeah, they really support it. They have a vision. But the real problems start with the middle management, because often they have different priorities. They are not willing to give the resources to data projects and so on. Do you have the same experience? How did you approach that topic or problem?
That's where the change management coming in place, because we are changing minds and hearts. So we are starting, when we are defining the vision start thinking about roadmap for change and implementation, we worked with our change management specialist to understand the priority groups as well as the engagement approach. So it's super important to start with why, because you cannot start implementing any of the initiatives without explaining why do we need the change and where we are heading. So from our perspective, how we approach that, we launched the engagement initiative through different articles, written engagement, as well as the webinars. where we talk about data culture and defining what it is and what it means for our organization, as well as why is it important for us to be a data literate. So we are trying to start our journey with answering the question, why should I bother?
Hi, it's Carsten. I wanted to inform you about a great offer if you want to improve data culture in your organization. We at Bark have developed the Data Culture Workshop. What we do is we discuss with you a list of the most promising and proven measures and initiatives that help organizations to improve their data culture. We bundled all of our experience we could gain over the last years in working with organizations that wanted to improve their data culture. At the end of the day, you have a prioritized list of measures and initiatives that are effective in improving data culture. I think it's a great offer. It bundles our experience, and in just one day, you really know what to do next if you want to improve data culture in your organization. Talk to me about the details. I'm looking forward to connect with you. Excellent. And by the way, that's one of my pillars. I call it data communication. Yeah. So constantly, it's really the importance to constantly communicate around successes. Yeah. I think stories are super important to change people's behaviors. Yeah. And their mindset. Organizing a lot of initiatives. It's also a marketing data in a way, that is an important asset, as something to consider, and so on. But I thought so, that you implicitly, for sure, would also do that, but you just confirmed it. Super interesting.
We have, and I'm going to share with you my little gem. We've created a hashtag, data is everyone's business. So whenever we are sending any communication, and not just as a part of our data transformation program, any communication and initiatives that we are working with other colleagues. So we are trying to find the driver, the vehicle for our message through other programs and initiatives. So we are ensuring that all other colleagues are using our hashtag, data is everyone's business. Sometimes working, sometimes not, but that's our plan.
Yeah, well, interesting idea, to bring the message across. I always like to ask about experiences, good and bad. So if you look at now your six pillars, it's leadership, data democratization, data literacy, data improvement, infrastructure, and accessibility. What were maybe initiatives that were, from your point of view, very successful that you would recommend others also to launch? And maybe what were experiences where you said, hey, we thought this would be a good idea, but in the end, it didn't work for whatever reason. And so maybe people can also learn from things that didn't work. What would you mention here?
So I would like to start with the initiative that was developed and launched, not by myself, but by my wonderful colleague, Ngozi Kobayo, who is the Data Governance Quality Assurance Manager. And with her absolutely fantastic team, they introduced data and information asset owners and data stewards. And I'm starting with this initiative because it's super important. It's important to start driving the message that data, it's not the responsibility of the data specialists. We are just the enablers. But the colleagues who are working in within the business, they are the owners of the data. They understand what it's fit for purpose and how to use the data for their benefits. And that's the reason we need data owners with accountabilities for data quality, data governance, assurance, managing the data risk across the entire organization. The initiative was launched just last year. where we it's a royal we, where the wonderful team, the data governance quality assurance team, identified the data owners. Not only they created the framework and policies around data governance and their operating model, but they also designed the training and delivered the training. We have a great buy-in from the entire organization with the understanding that this is the right approach for us to take, because the data within the respective functions, our colleagues understand what the good looks like and how to improve the quality. Hence the shift of the ownership of the data from the digital and data team to other functions. So that's the first initiative. The second one, which we are currently working on, it's a Power BI citizen developer. So as I mentioned, we want to provide our colleagues with the right tools and skills to utilize the data successfully. And we want to foster the environment of the experimentation, but we need to provide the right tools. So we are working on the framework and policies right now to provide our colleagues with the ability to use Power BI desktop version, where they can create localized reporting and dashboards with the support from the Analytics Center of Excellence, which is led by the data intelligence team. Watch this space. We are just about working on the rollout approach, hoping to start our trial in a few weeks' time. So hopefully I can give you the update soon.
Now, that's interesting. That sounds like a self-service BI approach. And a typical question here is, how do you organize now the collaboration between IT and business?
Thank you. Really good question, which then links back to mentioning my colleague, Max Jeffrey, who is a data and intelligence business partner. And actually, he's leading on Power BI Citizen Developer Initiative. So as his job title says, he is a business partner. So he is the crucial link between the business and data. So he is translating the business requirements and business needs into the data requirements, how we model the data and how we present it, how we visualize it within our beautiful Power BI dashboards and the reporting.
Super. And next to Safe Service BI, what else are you doing?
Last and not least, it's the data literacy program. And this is the program which I've been working on for the last year. And it includes three offerings: data literacy e-learning, data literacy mentorship, and webinars, knowledge webinars. So let's start with the data literacy e-learning. We've created, within our data literacy framework, we identified 9 data literacy themes that we believe we need to work on to support our vision to be data-driven. Within our data literacy framework, we also identified 5 NHSPS data literacy personas with a clear matrix of the knowledge and skills, minimum knowledge and skills required. So when we were building our designing our e-learning, we were ensuring that we are providing the minimum of required knowledge across the entire organization, so we can start speaking the same language and we understand each other and we know our roles and responsibilities. So we've created short and punchy e-learning modules, interactive with short testimonials from our senior leadership team, with the animation, with the quizzes, where we are introducing the concept of the data governance, what its data, what's the difference between data information, knowledge and wisdom, but we also included our policies and tools, so ensuring that our colleagues can use those as well when they are learning about their roles and responsibilities. Then we've introduced the data literacy mentorship, and I'm super proud of it. This is an initiative program that's being developed with the support of our talent team, ensuring that our colleagues who would like to develop their data literacy skills, supporting them, maybe even joining our digital and data function, that they are paired with their experienced colleagues. But when I say experienced colleagues, I don't mean data specialists from the data function. Looking back at the data literacy framework and our data literacy themes, we identified that one of the themes is the bigger picture. So understanding the power of data, as well as communication engagement. So using the data, making decisions, using data for strategies, storytelling with data. So we invited our colleagues who are passionate about data and know how to use it for the, whether it's through the decision making or, you know, writing policies, to be part as a mentors on our program. So, and that's the program we've been running since October. The first cohort, it's currently in progress, and we already have a few success stories where we identified early talent, colleagues who are super excited about the Power BI and data visualization and data storytelling. And then last but not least, it's the knowledge webinars. So as already mentioned, I mentioned about the data culture and data literacy webinars, a series of webinars where we talk about the why. So we are starting with why. Going forward, the plan is to carry on with our knowledge webinars, supporting our colleagues with understanding how can we use our newly developed data governance policies in the day, incorporating them in the day-to-day activities. So we'll have a webinars around our policies, about our business glossary, how to use it, about our metadata catalogs, data quality management, issue process, and so on and so forth. So we will start personalizing those webinars, as well as personalizing and tailoring our data literacy modules, because that's not where we are stopping. We need to now to create more tailored approach where we are talking about data value chain for individual groups of colleagues and job. Yeah.
Fascinating. Is there any initiative or idea that didn't work where we could also learn from?
Yes and no. What I would say is there is a loads of projects, programs, and initiatives that are currently live. So we are targeting the same colleagues. So what we could have done better, it's better time management, so not overloading our colleagues with the information. There can be too much of the good thing. So when you're targeting the same pool of colleagues from different angles, it's challenging for them to understand what is the priority, why is it important, which do I need to do first. So I think that's where the challenge is. We are constantly evolving as an organization, and we are adapting to make sure that we serve our customers in the best possible way. So ensuring that our processes are efficient and effective, and so on, so on and so forth. Hence the overload with the project initiative, and I think that's the challenge. That could have been addressed slightly differently.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. My final question is that I see that many data culture executives, managers, are once they implemented, like you did, a framework, initiatives, and so on, then they're moving on to the measurement of success. Yeah, so to be accountable themselves about the initiatives and how successful they are. Is that also part of your current state of initiatives?
Yes, definitely. So we, a couple of months ago, before we launched data literacy program, we've done the data literacy self-assessment to understand and create the baseline for our organization to understand where we are. And we will use the results as our baseline to measure our success of implementation of the data literacy program within the next few months. But currently, we launched the e-learning just a few weeks ago, but we are constantly measuring to understand our performance. So we have the feedback from our colleagues, which actually it's been pretty positive so far. We received 3.9 out of 5 satisfaction rate for our e-learning. And even with just a few weeks of the e-learning being live, already 25% of our colleagues completed the e-learning. So I think that it's quite a pretty good number. So we are very pleased about that. But we will be measuring and we are looking about the feedback, ensuring that we are taking it consideration when we are planning the next phase, further e-learning development materials. So ensuring that it is tailored for our colleagues. As I said, with the first iteration, we want to set the baseline, the foundations for everyone to speak the same language. But the next step, it will be the tailoring to the needs of individual colleagues and how they interact with data and what data they're using as well. So we are telling a more personalized stories. Within the data information asset owners and stewards, we are also measuring the uptake of the data quality issue reported. So ensuring that all the initiatives we launched are making difference. So we are keeping a close eye, ensuring that we can adapt. So if for example, if we plateau, we will definitely have a look whether we need to create a further engagement around how to report the data quality issues.
Anna, thanks so much for sharing all these experiences. Congratulations on your very, I think, sophisticated and also substantiated approach with a framework, with a definition, a clear vision, and so on. So I really liked how you approach data and data culture. Again, thanks for sharing this with us here. I'm sure there's a lot to learn for our listeners and viewers. And I wish you all the best for your future initiatives in this area. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was absolutely brilliant. Thank you.